الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. During the day, what lessons we read or we teach in madrasa. So many attend that same night or in that weekend if there's a program. Then we try in a more simpler manner to repeat that lesson. Our desire is that the durus and the lessons which would once upon a time be restricted or confined to the Darul Ulooms, it must now become general in the masajid. I remember many years ago we visited Misr, Egypt, Azhar. So Azhar went through a very bad change over the years from what it was, the flower of Islam. And then whatever is great and a flower, then the eyes of the enemy one day fall. And from inside they made the rot come. And the first fatwa of interest came from Egypt. And thereafter Egypt became totally, totally modern. But there'll always be a day where things will change again. It was the main focus of the enemy. If Egypt is right, the pathway towards Gaza is through Egypt. The pathway towards Gaza. The pathway is at the moment towards Egypt. When the Brotherhood was there, so much of effort was made to make sure they don't rise. Muhammad al-Mursi came, they made sure. Because Egypt was very strategic. So when we visited Egypt, we met one alim. He saw us, he took us out for like a drink. I think it was sugarcane juice. And then he said that my father, meaning his father, was one of the great shuyukh of Egypt. He said, and he would always say that ilm will spread when the durus that are given in the classroom are now given in the masajid. So that which was specific for the ulama becomes general for the non-ulama. And all the treasure which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left, it doesn't remain the inheritance of a small group, but it becomes a general inheritance. We have gone quite far towards getting that, but we're still on a journey. By Allah's kindness, our masajid, now when you enter, you will see a Hifz class. You will see the maktab, you will see the children walking. But the dars in the masjid is still not taking place. For example, after Fajr Salah, say everyone sit. And let's for 15 minutes have a lesson. It's an inheritance. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we the Anbiya do not leave behind gold and silver. For him, gold and silver had no value. He would lift up a dead goat. He would say, you want to buy this? Who will buy it? And the Sahabi radiallahu anhu is feeling shy. So he says, forget buying it, even if you give it to us for free, we're not going to take it. And what do we do with a dead goat? Then he would say, Wallah, how you despise this dead goat, Allah despises the world. So he had no eye on this world, gold and silver. For him, when he would see wealth, one night he wakes up, he says, La ilaha illallah. He says, if only you can understand What trials have come down tonight. Meaning Allah has now made the decision for trials to fall on my ummah. Then he said, Mada unzila min al khazain. If only you can understand what treasures have come to it. Now me and you, when we hear treasures, we jump for joy. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw treasures come on his ummah. He said, Wallah, if only you could understand what trials have come. How we see, he saw a difference. He saw that which makes us sad. For him, it makes people happy. Shahada for him would make him happy. Becoming wealthy in this world would make him sad. He would say, we haven't left behind gold and silver as inheritance. We have left behind ilm. Now, our normal habit with inheritance is, if someone in your family dies, You cry, and at the same time, one person is asking the other, who's the executor? How much he left behind? And the next day, the fight starts. The fight. They tell the sister, you don't need. Why you need the money? Your husband is rich. And then father, brother-in-law starts phoning. The swearing starts taking place. For inheritance, no one ever comes and says, you know what, I'm busy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I leave behind an inheritance. But it was this inheritance that now we found the ummah. They're not running for it. They have started feeling it's his. Let him take it. So the day the durus, the lessons of a madrasa, become general to the ummah. And what was known as the ahadith of Mishkat, and Bukhari and Muslim, it is no longer read only in a Darul Uloom. But the normal people read it. Because in those kitabs, there will be the chapter of business. But the poor Maulana teaching that kitab, he got no business. So he won't even understand what's happening. He got no business. And the businessman who's supposed to know it, if a alim gives a bayan, and he speaks to you against inheritance, stealing in inheritance, the next week he gives a bayan, don't get involved in interest. The next week he gives a bayan, how our daughters must dress up. The fourth week the mutawallis will call him and say, Maulana, you just speak about Jannah from now on. We tire about all this hard stuff. Hard stuff no one likes. But if anyone hears Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name, it's a normal dars. There's a kitab of hadith in front. And the alim just reads. And they're going through an entire kitab of hadith. That person who sits there understands my master is speaking. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the master speaks, every slave listens. Then no one becomes upset. No one becomes angry. What was mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the manner he mentioned it, how he spoke, how he explained. Allah tabarakallah make that alive everywhere. Today the lesson that was given in the class was in the chapter called Ru'ya. The chapter of dreams. So this is a fantastic topic. Because a lot of people, they say if they can't get sleep at home, they come for a bayan. So at least now when you're dreaming in the bayan, at least you know what you're seeing now. On the dastarkhan, the imam of the masjid, Maulana, was telling me that now on the phone you get something which is called, you dim the light so that you can prepare your mind 1 hour before. So your body gets ready to sleep 1 hour before. I say in our Darul Uloom, a boy can sleep, so he says it's to tell the mind that it is not daytime. Your phone is too bright. So make it dumb so your mind can work out it's nighttime. Time to sleep. I said in a Darul Uloom, boys sleep in the day and in the night. They don't need 1 hour to prepare. But if the Maulana in this town needs 1 hour to prepare, I don't know about the rest of you. When the world gets hard, come in a madrasa. So then I said to them, in madrasa, the student falls asleep. Even sometimes the teacher falls asleep. While he's teaching, he also goes. No preparation. So there are Lord dreams. Now when you're going to see a dream, how are you going to take the meaning? In that you will understand how beautiful our deen is. That Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not leave any part of our life untouched. He told us what happens when you go toilet. He told us what happens when you're in a state of janabah. Can you talk? Can't you talk? If you have relations with your wife one time and you want to go again, what should you do? It was discussions that no one would speak about. He spoke about. Ali radiallahu anhu becomes his son-in-law. A son-in-law. Ali radiallahu anhu now is married, but now when you just get married, you sometimes, you haven't that emission of madhi. But how do you go and find out from your father-in-law? That you know I'm getting a little wet because it's with your daughter. He says, I feel shy. By Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was nothing to feel shy about. He was going to explain every point. But who it was for all of us. If everyone doesn't go out to learn how he explained. The one man, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala gave us the chance to go to Syria. So we spent a lot of time, very close time with those people who took part in the fight. One man got four wives. Like how everyone gets thrilled to see a man with four wives. Especially if he's a smiling man. So someone asked him, how you manage with four? What an answer he gave. He says, if you live your life according to the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can manage in any condition. He says, but if a man doesn't know what his Nabi did, he said he can't go nowhere. He said, I studied the seerah and I live according to the seerah. He said, how I go to the masjid first, then I go to each wife, then I speak to her how my master spoke, then they had turns, I mark off the turn, then I went for the battle, but when I come back, it's now your turn. But I like that sentence of his. In the jihad of Syria, one thing we learned is, the leaders made sure every fighter studied the seerah. Every fighter had to study, they had mashayikh to teach them. Everything that they saw in the battle, and now they're seeing after the victory, everything when you hear them talking is, in the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this happens. That's why I do it like this. That, they had something in their mind. What a seerah it was. It was preserved for what? So we could relive it. So the chapter of dreams, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us when you awake how you must do. He even told us when you're sleeping what's going to happen. Everything was covered. So a few principles were given from the ahadith he mentioned regarding dreams. We will explain these principles. The first is, I know you all must be knowing there's one book. If you see it in the bookshop, you'll always buy it. Few books people buy. One is before getting married, you know what book the boys buy? That one. Then the second one is dreams, interpretation of dreams. Nowadays they don't buy it, they got Google, AI. So they have a hectic dream. Then they say to AI they dream. AI normally gives top answers. But in dreams, AI will give you upside down answers. It will tell you it can mean you're going to get a good father-in-law. It can mean you're going to see poverty in your life. It can mean all your teeth will come out. Now you have to wait for one of the three. It can. The reason is in dreams, even this book which is known as Interpretation of Dreams of Allama Ibn Sirin, Muhammad Ibn Sirin was a very great tabi'i. Allah Tabarakala blessed him with the ability to interpret dreams. He learned a little of this year, or he heard from the sister of Aisha radiallahu anha, Asma radiallahu anha. She would hear from her father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, as a master in interpreting dreams. So one book was compiled, Interpretation of Dreams, Muhammad ibn Sirin. But it's not his book. So in there they give certain principles. You can't work with those principles. In dreams there's no principle. It is not something that can be taught. Dreams, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, the components of a dream. First, Sahaba radiallahu anhu heard that the Anbiya alayhi salam, now their silsila system is finished. He said, Nubuwa has now come to an end. After me, there's no Nabi coming. Sahaba radiallahu anhu got sad that now our relationship with Almighty Allah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that now from Nubuwa, Allah has left one portion open. And that will be Mubashirat. Glad tidings. So they asked, what is this glad tidings? He said, it will be a dream. You might see the dream, or someone might see the dream for you. He says, that is your connection now with Almighty Allah. In that what he explained to us, is Allah Tabarak Ta'ala loves us so much. So much that when we awake many a time, we come to the masjid, we say Allahu Akbar. But if you ask the man after salah, how much did you think of Allah? The answer might be, hey, I don't know. That might be the answer. Now that individual goes home to sleep. When sleeping, he's totally, totally oblivious of Allah. But in his dream, Allah Tabaruk Tala sends a message to him. As though saying, my servant, when you made Allahu Akbar, even then you never think about me. As for me, even when you fast asleep, I think about you. I think about you. When a man sees a dream and he gets it as a message from Allah, you must really feel, you must feel happy. You must feel happy. That if he hasn't forgotten me when I'm asleep, how can I ever think he forgot me when I'm awake? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, when you will see these dreams, Lord. He said, إِذَا اِقْتَرَبَ الزَّمَانِ. Meaning when the times will be difficult, closer to the ending, when there'll be a lot of imtihans, a lot of tests, people who are in prisons, we ask them, how you managed? They would say, in Afghanistan we met a man. Allah Tabarak Tala inspired him in a dream. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught him in the dream how to make bombs from soap. How to make a bomb from soap. The only thing is we never know how to ask him the ingredients. And I don't think he was going to tell us. At that time they used to send soap here to the town. And with soap he used to create bombs and they used to bomb the Americans with soap. So we met the man. Some said, can we kiss you on the forehead like you saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your dream so many times. Even taught him how to make soap. He said, I remember the one dream. So he's telling us how life in a prison is. He says it would be dreams that would give us hope. He says sometimes I would become sad. Am I going to stay in prison forever? He says, and I saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a dream smiling at me. He pointed to the wall. The door was behind him. Normally you escape a prison from the door. He pointed to the wall. And he said, you'll go through there free. But when you wake up like you think now, you're supposed to be, you'll go through there free. You can't go through a wall free. He says, but the day the victory happened, that wall got bombed. And he says, when I went through that wall, I remembered the dream. You'll go through that wall. I remember that. Dreams. When you will see the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your dream, even if conditions are hard, you will think of this. That if he is thinking of me when I'm sleeping, will he not be thinking of me when I'm awake? When I'm going through difficulties because of him. Because when I'm sleeping, there's no difficulty. When I'm going through difficulties because of him or his mission. When I am saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. When I'm not saying it, if he's thinking of me, then how must it be when I am saying it? Then it gives a man a courage. Carry on the next day. Carry on. Said, Mubashirat. You will get glad tidings. That will be our connection. Your connection with Allah. Your connection with the Rasul of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many a time it's your connection with someone you love Lord. Someone you love Lord. Say, I saw him in a dream. I saw her in a dream. Her could be your mother. It could be that wife you really loved. Or it could be you now thinking of taking another wife because your wife passed away. And then you see your wife in a dream. Says, you think I forgot about you? You think I don't know what you're up to? Then he says, you will see, your connection is still there. The connection is there. Mubashirat. He explained to us. And he said, in the dream, you will see takhweef min ash-shaytan, tahzeen min ash-shaytan. That in the dream, the devil will try to make you sad. Sometimes you will just wake up with a very terrible dream. Terrible, it's troubling you. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no dream is going to harm you. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَدُرْ. It's not going to harm you. What's going to happen in life has to happen. A dream can't harm anyone. So when a man wakes up and he's irritated the next, I had a terrible dream. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a dream is like something which is on the leg of a bird. Ala rijli tayr. They explain it in this manner, that if you come to a place where you see a bird, and there's one crumb there, and the bird is looking at that crumb, must I pick it up or not? So it's already on the leg of the bird. The bird can now either take its claw and hold it tight, and fly away with it. If the bird flies away with it, it's not going to harm you one, but it's gone. Or the bird can get startled, and it can jump, and that which was on the leg falls, and then that remains on the ground. Saqatat. He says, your dream is like that. Either you cannot mention it to no one, it was a scary dream, you don't tell anyone about it. You just turn looking towards the left, and then you just go, that tu means telling the devil, get lost, get lost, get lost. Then you say, A'udhu billah minash shaytanir rajim. That this devil doesn't leave me, even when I'm sleeping, he can't leave me. Allah, I ask you protection, he must stay away from me. If it's really troubling you, read 2 rakats of salah. Read la hawla wa la quwwa illa billah. That whatever happens, happens with Allah's decision. Whether I see it in a dream, I don't see it in a dream. Dreams don't do anything. He says, if no one talks about it, it will be like that bird which picked up and flew away. Gone. Never to trouble you, never to worry you. But you never told anyone about it. Never to trouble you, never to worry, it's gone. But what you do, you startle the bird by speaking about it. Because the next morning you wake up like, not looking right. The hadith comes, if ever you have to narrate a dream, narrate it to Labib or Habib. But that Habib has to be Labib. Labib means someone intelligent. Habib means someone who loves you. But that loving person must be intelligent. The Habib must be intelligent. Because if the person who loves you is a fool like you, then you told him the dream, your problem. He is going to tell you something, it will make double problem. And you say, I had a scary dream. He really loves you, but he doesn't know about dreams. You say, I think boss, you're going to die tomorrow. So you were an idiot telling him. He was a bigger idiot. You startled the bird. So the next day you were shocked. Your wife, first person to see you is your wife. Now when you ask a man when he's angry, that what's the nature of a woman? That's the only thing our people learn. They say it comes in the hadith, isn't it? Nafisatul aql. That her mind is not right. So when you're angry with her, you remember that. But when you see a bad dream, you forget it. She's the last person to tell a bad dream. She's the last person because woman got emotions. You're going to tell her a scary dream. She's going to like, that bird who jumped because of you will die because of her. That is not going anywhere. She'll immediately go AI. She'll start pressing, what's going to happen, what's going to happen. But the day you come back, there's no lunch that day. She already wrote your future. Your sister is dying, then your brother-in-law is dying, this one, all dead. You don't. But if no one spoke, the bird flew away. Gone. If you want, what does it mean now when you ask someone and he tells you, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, because remember, your dream will hit on the first person who interprets it. So some people think this means is that who the first person you ask, whatever he says is going to happen in your life. It doesn't mean that. The king of Egypt saw a dream. He asked foolish people. They were in front of him. He said, I saw this dream. It was a hard dream, so they never know the answer. So they just told him, you know, people see funny things at night. You saw something funny. Nothing about it. But the one person who was giving him the drink said, in the prison there's a boy who knows dreams, Yusuf. If you give me the chance, I'll go and ask him. He'll give you an answer to this dream. So the first one said nothing. Yusuf alayhi salam came, gave the right meaning. But what the hadith meant, that your dream will be according to the first interpreter. What it means is, when you see a dream, especially a scary dream, you see a good dream, you will ask a person. If a man is not jealous, if a man is always looking for good for you, he will always try and look in that dream in a positive manner. And he will then say to you something that makes you positive also. And it puts you on a good road, and then you will say, most likely that's what Allah wanted. It could be a weird dream. But if the person has intelligence, a very great leader, a khalif, his wife saw a dream that men were coming and having relations with her. But she was a very chaste woman. Now how you feel in the morning? You wake up and last night, not one man, not two men, men. So many men. That's like zina, one night with so many. Now you need to ask someone, what does this dream mean? If you ask the wrong person, imagine what they will say. The Khalif's wife, she's dirty outside, even when she's sleeping. Well then what she thinks about? So she was feeling shy. She tells the slave, go and ask this person this dream. So the person they asked, he said, who saw the dream? So the slave said, not allowed to tell. He says, then I can't give an interpretation. Finally, she had to say who it was. According to the person, according to the one interpreting, according to what comes in his mind at that moment. And he always looks at something positive. So a person who knows little bit will understand that relations in Arabic is called istimta. Istimta means to take benefit. Istimta. To take benefit. And man normally knows when a man goes to a woman, then after that ghusl becomes wajib. Al-ma min al-ma. That you give water, you'll have to use water. So water has a lot of meaning of relation. Giving of water, having to use water. Al-ma min al-ma. And istimta. Istimta means to take benefit. So immediately his mind went to two things. Benefit and water. And he says, tell her that through her, the people of this land will benefit greatly through water. A lot of benefit will be taken, but through water. Now that's stacked in our minds. See, the first mu'abbir. The first mu'abbir, the first interpreter will make something sit in your mind. It made her feel happy. I'm not a dirty woman. Now she goes for a hajj. As she goes for a hajj, she's going through the lands. And she sees from point A to point B, there's no water. But because she is the Khalif's wife, water is given. But she's thinking of all those people who don't have water. Now why she started thinking of water? Because she had word once upon a time, people will benefit from water. Now she looks and she says, there's no water here. So then she says, she's the wife of the Khalif. That why can't we pull from that one water source? And we pull right all the way to Makkah Mukarram. Take this channel, take this channel, take this channel. Take this channel. That channel remained for years. But if you have to understand when they built that channel, there were so many times where master builders, at that time the machines we have, they never have. Cutting through mountain, mountain, mountain. A time comes you give up. There were so many times people gave up. But she would not let anyone give up. Because in her dream, one thought was planted. That the world will benefit from your waters. No matter what is going to happen. The right interpretation, the right thought, and she was put on a course. And if somebody else had to interpret it, it would have made her feel filthy, dirty. It would never have made anything positive. He said, the devil will make you scared or irritate you in your dreams. You will take a message from your dream which always makes you positive. You will never take a message that makes you negative. Allah doesn't like His servant to be negative. And then he said, and in the dream there's a component of your daily thoughts. Scholars now explain this narration. When a man will see a dream, it will either be a message from Rahman, from Almighty Allah to you. You will see it or someone will see it for you. That message will either mean, my servant, I'm happy with you, carry on. Normally when you will see this? You will see this when you're going through difficulties in life. That my servant, you're doing well, carry on. The second is what is called malakuti misal. Malakuti misal means your own nature. Your own nature in a world which is called the worlds of shapes. By Almighty Allah, there's a world. In the day of Qiyamah, we'll understand this well. Where it's called joining family ties. This is a concept. Joint family ties. But by Almighty Allah, this concept has a form. It is mentioned in the hadith, it will be there by the sirah. As people will be crossing it, it will say, this one looked after family ties. Allah help him. And you just say, this one broke ties. Allah destroy him. That concept takes a form. That world. Allah Tabarakala allowed us to take lessons that our inside nature takes forms. Because when we look at ourselves in a mirror, the mirror of this world can never show our reality. It shows the fake picture. It shows my hair, but it doesn't show my thoughts. Sometimes my hair can be very neat, but my thoughts are very filthy. It shows my eye. I got a beautiful blue eye, but it doesn't show the amount of zina behind that eye. Filth and dirt. It can show me a lovely tongue, and say, I got nice cheeks and nice lips. It says, look at that girl. You saw the lips of that girl. Somebody else says, I saw her lips, but I heard her tongue also. Her tongue is sharp, but you don't see the tongue. But when she starts talking, then you see the tongue. So the world shows a lovely clean tongue. The filth on the tongue, the world doesn't show. But in a dream, your reality takes a form. Now in a dream you might see snakes. In recent time, a lot of people write to me. I'm seeing snakes in my dream. All of them want me to tell them, someone made jadu on you. All of them want. Then they'll ask, what's the taweez? Oh, same story. Lot of snakes. Maybe someone made jadu on you. But maybe it's your own inside that has taken a form. And the snakes that you are seeing is you. Meaning, just like how I get scared when I see snakes coming towards me. My Allah is telling me, but you the snake. A snake, the nature of the snake is jealousy. Hatred. I can't see anybody else going up in life. The snake, poison. I poison the minds of some against others. I blow my poison. Snake. Snake, the more colorful, the more deadly. The more colorful, the more deadly. And every day I'm beautifying my life so much, but I'm becoming more and more filthy spiritually. Allah Tabarakala shows snakes in my dream. I get scared. Why snakes? Again, I told you, never be negative. Our people are negative. He said, I think someone made jadu on me. Be positive. Positive that my Allah wants me to understand that just like how no one likes snakes in this world, Allah will not let snakes enter his Jannah also. If I'm going to carry on behaving like a snake, then I got no place in his court. Then I look at myself, am I behaving like a snake? Am I? And I don't go negative. I take it positive. I can't be a snake. So the next day when I walk out, I want to be a blessing. I want to be the man helping. I want to be the man smiling. I want to be the man well-wishing. I took it positive. Now that point set in my mind that my Allah says, by my court, I don't like snakes, just like how you don't like snakes. I took a positive meaning. Negative meaning, the dream is not going to harm no one. You see snakes, you see dogs. Whatever you see in your dream is not going to harm you. But if you take a positive meaning, you're going to go far. You take a negative meaning, you're going to already fall. And you tell it to someone who's foolish, he'll drop you even further. Dreams can't harm. But you take a positive meaning. And you must learn how to take these meanings. Because a dream is our link with Almighty Allah. It is the dream that has changed lives of people. A man saw a dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never had a beard. He was wearing the clothes of the English, like the tie. It was the time when India, Pakistan, the British had just left. The British left, but everyone was in love with the British. So to dress like the British, to talk like the British, send my daughter to Britain to learn good English. You see when they tell you, say, how's my English? I've got good English, no? They were thrilled with the British. Thrilled. So at that time he sees a dream when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is clean shaven, suit and tie. The dream is a dream. Your mind will tell you this is the Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Man Rani fil manam. A man who has seen me in a dream, he saw me. He said, don't worry of that. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ لَا يَتَمَثَّلُ بِي. For shaitan cannot take my surat, my form. So when you think you saw me, you saw me. But the question is, I saw Allah's Nabi. And that's the question the man had. No beard, suit and tie, like the English. So he went to an alim and he said, I'm confused. I know it was the Nabi of Allah, but he's not supposed to be like that. So the alim explained to him that actually Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving you a meaning, a message. And what a good way to give the message. The message was, O my ummati, how are you? Are you shocked to see me dressed like this? Because if you are shocked to see me dressed like this, then understand I am shocked to see you dressed like this. You shocked, isn't it? You my Nabi, you're not supposed to be like this. So then how come you like this? How come you like this? That I want to be with you. So if you don't want to dress like me, maybe I have to dress like you. You already know, no, that's not right. How can you dress like the British? So he says, then if I can't dress like them, but me and you want to be together on the day of Qiyamah, and I can't dress like them, then maybe you will have to start dressing like me. What a meaning. Now how positive. Now the person goes out. First thing he says, do I not feel shy? Look at my dressing. That even if an alim had to see me, the alim will turn away and say, you look like the British. Oh, Britain. Go live in Britain, not you coming to the masjid. Said, even if an alim will see me, say, shout me, get out here. Said, but my Nabi loves me so much that for the sake of my changing, he even came to visit me in my dream. More than that, he changed his pure form to take my form. Just so that he can give a message to me. Now that man goes positive. Not that my Nabi disgraced me. My Nabi really loves me. Otherwise, what a thing to do in a dream. What a thing. To change his form for me. He changed his form. Positive. When you will be positive in dreams, then you will have no issues. A man had a dream. Couple of weeks he had a dream. He came to the alim and he said, I see like two chameleons. They're just fighting in my house, two chameleons. So the alim said, are you married? He said, recently. He said, is your mother alive? He said, yes. He said, do they live in the same house? He said, yes. He says, do they fight? He says, don't talk about it. He says, it's natural when you're going to put two chameleons. Chameleon means they change their color. They change their color. Ever saw a chameleon? When it will go by the tree, it's the tree color. Sometimes a woman can be like that. She can be such a smart color. Everyone say, Appa, Appa, what a good Appa. And the daughter-in-law say, which? And she says, everyone says, what a nice daughter you know you got. And she says, rubbish. Say, both chameleons. That they will show one color outside, one color inside. It's natural. But if the two chameleons are kept in different places, they can't fight. So he was shown a dream that you putting the two together and you want them not to fight. It's not going to happen. You leave this one there, you leave this one there. Then they can't fight. So you want them to come right, they can't come right. But if you separate them, they can't fight. So he was shown that insects, like reptiles, that are you going to give the reptile a bayan? And then you're going to say, reptile will go to the sheikh. Listen to his majlis few weeks. Mommy, listen. Wife, listen. Yes, you got bayan, you got bayan. How to live happily in the house. Now she listens, she listens. So in the dream he was told, go tell the two reptiles, listen to a bayan. Are they going to listen? He says, they're not going to listen. Let that one live there, let that one live there, then reptiles can't fight. If you can save reptiles fighting by just separating them, then you can save the fights in your house by putting your mother one side and your wife one side. But a dream, sometimes a dream can tell you something harder than what someone wants to say. One person had a dream. He saw Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam in his dream. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam is handsome. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam's story in Quran is known as Ahsanul Qasas, the best of stories. Say a happy ending. So when he woke up, his mind went to all this, a happy ending. A Zulaykha in my life. I'm the king of Egypt. All my brothers one day will come and bow in front of me. He had all good thoughts. He phoned Mawlana Yunus Patel, rahimahullah, who was a master in interpreting dreams. And I don't know why you phone. If you already worked out the interpretation, it's just like you want the chef to say, Mashallah, you Yusuf. So Hazrat Maulana said that it comes in my mind that you are getting too involved in haram relations. And Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam is telling you that a beautiful girl also came in front of me. But I went running away from her. You be like Yusuf. You be like Yusuf. That if I could run away, you can also run away. I run away. I never stand there and say, no, I know how to look after myself. So the wife said that, you know what, I'm not happy you got a female secretary. He said, I know how to look after myself. You think I don't know how to look? She's just there to make tea, to write scripts. That's why I got. The wife gets irritated. Say, can't you get a male secretary? Says, they charge too much. The wife says, okay, can't you get a not pretty secretary? Why you have to get a pretty one? The non-pretty one might charge less. He says, it's the figure of the business. When a customer walks in, he wants to see some things. Man will have 100 answers. Who's going to give him a bayan? But if Yusuf alayhi salam comes in his dream, and he says, you see me, I was Allah's Nabi. I could have looked at Zulaykha like this. But I knew if I stay there, alone with her, it wouldn't be easy. He said, I turned and I had to leave. I had to leave. He said, you be like Yusuf. Turn and leave. You can't be with her. You're going to be with her, you're going to fall. Sometimes a dream can give a message so nice. Again, positive. Did the dream disgrace anyone? No. Rather, the dream honored the person. The Nabi of Allah came in my dream. How noble I am by Allah. That he told a Nabi, you will go in this man's dream. You will give a message. A dream can make us very positive in life. And it can make us pull out of whatever we are. And we can come back onto a path. A dream. When we wake up and we see a dream, then you always, mubashirat. Even if the dream was a little scary, mubashirat. Mubashirat means, my Allah loves me so much, that even if some difficulty is coming in front, beforehand my Almighty Allah already told me, be ready for it. That makes you happy. Yaqub alayhi salam knew something is going to happen to Yusuf alayhi salam. He had a dream. He saw the wolves. When they told him, can we take Yusuf alayhi salam away? He said, I fear a wolf will eat him. He saw it in a dream. He saw Yusuf alayhi salam crying for help in his dream. He saw the wolf coming. He understood the meaning. That when the sheep will be separated from the shepherds, his son was the sheep. Then the wolf, which looks for the sheep, meaning the stronger will grab the weaker. Stronger is the brothers. He knew it. But Allah had written it to happen. But before it happened, Allah gave a dream. That dream made him understand that my Allah also knows what's going to happen. Otherwise, Allah always knows this. But my Allah knows what's going to happen. Why did my Allah want to tell me? Did my Allah want to scare me? My Allah doesn't want to scare me. Mubashirat. Then Yusuf alayhi salam has a dream. He says, oh my father, I saw the sun, the moon, the stars making sajda to me. Yaqub alayhi salam is so happy. It means the end of the thing is going to be this. But immediately he tells Yusuf alayhi salam, don't tell your brothers. Because the first dream he already knew. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going out for the battle of Uhud. He says, I saw a dream. In there a hole came in my sword. Then I shook it and the hole closed up. I said, what does it mean? Initial defeat. That initial defeat of Uhud was going to happen. But when it happened, the dream said that my Allah had already told me it's going to happen, take it easy. It's going to happen, take it easy. The dream never come to scare me. The dream never come to scare me. The dream came to tell me, when it happens, don't think we're not in charge. I'm telling you, from now something has to happen. Be ready for it. Don't be shocked. Be ready. So if you ever see yourself, you're going to die soon. You don't get scared. Someone in your family is going to pass away soon. Don't get scared. And don't you dare go and tell the person, I saw you going. That you don't do. That you don't do. One person had a dream years ago of my father. He said, I saw you. Allah had given you shahada. You passed away. No, he said, I saw you passed away. And immediately you came back again. So he went and he asked someone the interpretation. So the interpretation will be this person will pass away as a martyr. Shahada, because Shahada is Shaheed. He dies but he's alive. So my father heard the interpretation. You get happy, you're going to get Shahada. But no one wants to get Shahada immediately, isn't it? And at that time his leg just had developed a sore. So it's like the right time for the dream. Like you're going now. So I'm walking with him. I said, no, Shahada will come years later. At the moment this dream means that the doctors will say this will be deadly. They'll all give up hope you're dead and you'll come alive again. Meaning you'll shock all the doctors. You'll shock all the doctors. And really my father then shocked the doctors. It wasn't the sore on the foot only, it was an issue of cancer. And the doctor that we went to, he told him, you've got 10 years to live. So enjoy your 10 years. First he was sad, then he said later on, okay, 10 years is a long time. 10 years. Then one day he told Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib Dama Barakatu, that the doctor said, I got 10 years. So Hazrat Maulana said, don't worry, you'll live even more than the doctor. So that you'll live more than the doctor. And then 10 years passed, I was waiting for the 10 years, but once the 10 years passed, 11, then I stopped counting. One day I'm with my brother and I'm telling him that, you know what, I wonder what happened to the doctor. I wonder what happened to the doctor. That same day we were at a place and an announcement is made that this doctor passed away. I'm telling my brother, you know who that doctor is, same doctor. He also is gone. He says, you passed away, you came alive, meaning the doctor will say, you're going, you live. You can interpret like, I don't have to kill the person. You have to kill the person before that. After the person passed away, then you tell, you know, I had a dream, he's going to be a martyr. But you don't go and tell him the dream, like, you know what, I saw you going. Give my salams. That you don't do. You don't. So when a man has a dream, you must think about, you must always be positive, never negative. Everything you must take in a positive manner. If you can live your dreams in a positive manner, then in the world you will take everything in a positive manner. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam disliked negativity. When he came to the Arabs, if they saw a bird flying in the direction of Sham, Sham had the meaning of Shu'mun. Shu'mun means bad luck. Yemen had the meaning of Yumnun, good luck. So they had Yemen one direction, Sham the other direction. Medina Munawwara or Makkah Mukarrama is Madal. Yemen will be one direction, Sham the other. They would look at the bird. If the bird was going Yemen, Yumnun, good luck, they'd say, let's go for the journey. But if it was going to Sham, Shu'mun, negative they were, very negative. They would stop day and day and go home. Say, not the time to go for journey. When we were small, we used to hear this. It was old stories. They would say, if you walk under the ladder, then you're going to have bad luck. Mirror blinks. 7 years bad luck. The cat cries, someone's going to die tomorrow. I would drop a spoon sometimes. It means visitors are coming. You all know it. It was like in the houses. Like. Then we went to go study. Like you say, where, in which hadith this one came? Never saw it, where it came from. But one old auntie told the people. Is the thoughts always negative, negative, negative. Nabi is also never like negative. So if a person came with a negative name also, he said, change your name, be positive. Be positive. One man came. His name was Sad. Like Huznun, Sad. Nabi is also said, you not change your name. Why Sad, Sad? He said, my father gave me this name. Some people are like it. They don't even know who's a Nabi. Like, he said, my father gave me the name. He said, okay, if you don't want to change your name, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, whenever we saw him after that, he was always sad. Always sad. He said, even the name must be positive. Even the name. Nothing must be negative. Even the name. Everything must be positive. When he taught them this level of positivity, they went for battles. The army sent out a mujahid as a messenger. The law is you don't kill a messenger. So the messenger comes to the king to say where we came from, why we came, for what we came. So the king, to disgrace him, he tells as he's leaving, don't kill him, but as he's leaving, take sand. Because sand was always known as disgrace. I'll throw sand in your face. He says, take sand and put it on his head. Take sand and put it on his head. And let him go out like this. I'll disgrace you with sand. So he took the sand, they gave it to him, he took it. And he walked out with like happiness. Then he jumped on his animal and he started running, running. He took the sand with. When he came to the leader, they said, what happened? He said, we won already. He said, we won? What do you mean we won? He said, the king already gave me the sand under his feet. He said, what's under my feet is for you, take it. So the king gave me. The king gave me the sand under his feet. Because that's what we came for, isn't it? He said, what's the sand under your feet will be mine. He said, before I asked for it, he gave it to me. He said, give him the sand. How positive. The first ijtima which happened in London, Britain, the elders went for the ijtima. So the British never understood what is an ijtima, number one. So they asked, okay, how many horsemen, meaning soldiers, police officers you need to be moving around because you're going to get so many Muslims. Whatever it was, maybe 500. You're going to get so many Muslims. So how long it will be? So he said, maybe 3 days. So how many policemen you need? So he says, like, for what? He says, no, normally, like, because of the drinking and all of that, then the fight starts. So when they start fighting, because they have normally a 1 hour soccer match and 5 hours fight after that. Now you got 3 day ijtima. How many fights? So he says, no, we don't need like for that because no one will drink. So no one will drink, like who will come then? Because without drinking, why you come for 3 days? So he says, no, no one will. But they still send their police. And they were so amazed after the 3 days there was not one fight. So it shocked them. So the mayor came now to tell them, I'm very impressed. Like, very impressed by you. The 3 days, not one fight. So normally in England, they got funny things like, they give you funny gifts. That gift means, no, I don't know what it means, but they just give you. So they gave a key. They gave a key like, they came and gave him a key. What are you going to do with a key? But he went to the elders, and he told the elders, work done, like, ijtima success. He said, why, what? He said, chabi haath mein aa gayi. That they themselves gave us the key to the country. They themselves gave it, like. He came with the key. Haath mein aa gayi. So like that, positive. Like a negative. Always positive. Whatever we see in life, it must make us smile. It must never make us sad. We saw a small child in Syria. They asked him how his father passed away. Then he started narrating it. It made us feel like crying. He is narrating. We wanted to cry. Then he saw the one man crying or tearing. He looked up, he said, Sheikh, like Shahada. My father was martyred. Like, why are you crying? He was positive. Shahada. He lost a child, father, small child, orphan. He said, Sheikh, Shahada. If they could smile, even when they saw their beloved father pass away. Me and you can't smile. Why are we not positive? So our dreams must teach us to be positive. Then out of the dream, we will be positive. If a man is positive, if a woman is positive, that marriage is positive, the children are positive, everything goes well. Because halat, conditions always come. Conditions always come. But a positive person will make it happen. A negative person can never do anything. Positive man in Syria, we went now to Syria. This is after the bombing of years. Now the people are moving back from where they ran. They stayed in tents. They got the message, the regime is defeated, go home. But now they come home, there's no home left. It is only some wall structures, there's nothing inside at all. It's only rubble. But every person we saw was positive. The man we meet, I asked him, you're going to live here? He said, I'm already living here. I said, where you live? He says, when we came here, this whole place is us and our family. They bombed it all. He says, I was there when the bombing took place. I also went under the rubble. I also went. He says, when I came out, 5 of my children passed away. 5 of my children. And in my family, altogether 5 and all 16. He says, so all these houses were our houses, no houses. But when we came here, we looked for the best of the rest. We were positive. Best of the rest. He says, we saw that one house, not much work to be done. Whole family moved in there. The family that stayed in the whole family. He says, now we needed a roof. So we found one flag. We put the flag, that's our roof. Now a little bit every day someone takes some rubble, we move it. Now we got a nice house. Now we'll build this house, then we'll do that house, then we'll do that house. Positive. When he said, so many of my children passed away, one shot. My friend said, Inna lillah. He said, Walhamdulillah. Positive. And that's words that hit after that. He said, because there were other people who had it harder than us. He said, there were other people who had it harder than us. Now I'm wondering, harder than you? You got no house. You lost 5 children. In the whole, you lost 16 children. You have to look after everyone. So there were some people who had it harder. Positive. Ask him, you think this thing will ever come right? He says, we will rebuild this land. Like, positive. We will do it. When a man is positive, a woman is positive, you can go into any condition and you can make it happen. When you're negative, Even good conditions, you will not make it happen. Negative. Even good conditions. Person saw a dream the other day. He was very worried. Very worried. The one snake came. Two snakes came. And tried to bite him. From different sides. And then one snake then looked at the other snake. And then snakes are snakes, isn't it? They fight themselves also. So it looked at the other snake and then they started fighting. And then the one snake killed the other snake. And he's looking at the same. So I asked him, how you felt when you saw the dream? He said, very worried, two snakes. I said, if I had to see a dream like that, I'd get happy. I said, because a snake is your enemy. Two snakes are two enemies. But sometimes in life, Allah makes it that the enemy are coming for you. But before they reach you, they see themselves. And they start fighting so much they forget about you. I said, that's like the best thing in life. Your two enemies forgot about you. Say, let them carry on fighting. I'm moving this way. I said, you must feel happy that I never have to fight my enemy. They one for the other. In life, you sometimes get it, two people jealous about you. One is you very worried. He's jealous. He's jealous. But sometimes those two jealous people get so involved in their own fight, they forget about you. Then you smile, like you say, he's my friend, he's my friend. Both of them don't like you. You say, both are my friends. Let them carry on fighting. You all fight, leave me. You say, you're supposed to be happy. The snake never bit you. What you worried about? Snake never bit you. But when man is negative, even if the snake never bite, he gets worried. Imagine if the snake had to bite him. If the snake had to bite, I'll tell him, how you felt? Is he scared? I'll tell him, no. You died after that. He said, no. So he says, then you're supposed to feel happy. How? That even if my snake bites me, still I wake up the next day alive. So, which means nothing can harm me as long as my Allah doesn't want. Positive. You can be positive in anything in life. Positive in anything. A martyr would be positive. A fighter. That's why the Ottoman Empire, they were going to take Islam to heights. They had to choose a motto. What motto is to choose? A motto which is positive, negative. When you're fighting, will you win every battle? You can't. So they chose the motto, Ghaziyan O Shahida. Ghaziyan O Shahida. That we will return from one battle. Either Ghazi, ready to do another battle. O Shahid or Amata. That's our motto. Now when you're going for the battle, no one's going to ask you, did you win? Because your motto is, I'm returning, either Ghazi or Shahidan. Some died, some came back to fight again. So if we lost Shahidan, if we won Ghazi, that motto was so positive. Ghazi and Shahidan. Ghazi and Shahidan. Allah Ta'ala make, this was a dars from the treasures of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The world's gold and silver can give you a bed, but can never make you positive. So that the world's gold and silver can give you a house. It can give you a bed. It can give you a bed which they tell you will give you wonderful sleep. But as long as you got tension in life, you won't sleep. So gold and silver can't take away the tension. But the teachings of Rasulullah can take away attention. So when he said, we the Anbiya are not going to leave gold and silver for you. We will leave ilm for you, knowledge. Grab this inheritance. Grab it, take it to heart. And you will see the wealth of the Anbiya is true wealth. It will make you the wealthiest of the world. Wealthiest of the world. This was one dars. Imagine all the durus of hadith. May Allah Tabarakallah let us all connect with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sallallahu ala al-Nabiyyil Kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.